This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. A spokesperson for the parents of Terry Schiavo says that legal efforts to keep their brain-damaged daughter alive are at an end. They do still hope that the White House or Florida Governor Jeb Bush may intervene. Ms. Schiavo's feeding tube was removed by court order 10 days ago. The whole country has been talking and arguing about this case for weeks, but judges actually have to decide what to do. I spoke earlier with a former Missouri Supreme Court Chief Justice, Chip Robertson. He wrote an opinion on a case similar to Terry Schiavo's.
The notoriety is something that you get used to. These kinds of cases, however, enhance that even farther. And so you just accept the fact that it's going to be something of high profile and that people are going to be looking at it and criticizing it and praising it for all the wrong reasons. You spend about a day understanding that, and then you move away from it.
In this case, it's not just the criticism or that people have differing opinions. There really is a human life involved.
Well, that's exactly right, and it's one that is in a very unfortunate circumstance, and it's a very directed kind of an inquiry that's going on as to a particular person and the loved ones that are attempting to speak for that person one way or the other.
You ruled on the case of a young woman named Nancy Cruzan. She was brain damaged in an automobile accident. Her parents wanted to have life support removed, and the state of Missouri was arguing that it didn't want that to go forward. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And you ruled in a 4-3 decision for the state of Missouri, contravening the wishes of the parents. That must have been excruciating.
Well, it was excruciating, and that's a great choice of words. It's excruciating for everybody involved. But when you're writing an opinion for a court that may be the last time anybody announces what the rule of law ought to be under those circumstances, you can't make the decision based on a particular set of facts that relate to a particular person. You have to come up with a rule that will allow the court system and the law to handle these inquiries as they come up over time. With different people.
I have to say that as a layperson looking at these arguments that get before the cases, say in the case of the 3-judge federal appeals court in Atlanta that ruled on the Schiavo case, you had 2 judges there say, we're going to turn this down, and the 3rd one saying, we should accept this appeal, we should call for the tube to be reinserted. And both sides, in the opinions that are released, both sound reasonable. And a layperson looking at this says, how does one side get to one opinion and the other get to the other?
You know, all of these cases tend to be decided by one vote majority. Our court was 4-3. The United States Supreme Court, when it reviewed our work, was 5-4. And the people look at the same things and bring to that a philosophy of the law, and hopefully that's all, but some bring sort of philosophy of what government or what life really is, and they base their decision on that. This notion about judicial philosophy really matters in terms of how these things are decided.
But is it judicial philosophy or just philosophy of what it means to be a human being?
Well, if you're on the more conservative part of the specter as I was, you hope it's judicial philosophy, but you know, you can't totally divorce your life experiences from these kinds of decisions.
Let me raise the issue of political influences. You were appointed to the bench by John Ashcroft. He was then the governor of Missouri. This is before he became a senator and before he became an attorney general. He's well known for holding a very strong right-to-life views. Does that influence your decision at all?
Well, the fact that he appointed me, I suppose, and that he believed I thought a particular way about judging generally may have influenced his appointment, but I went out of my way not to be a person who was totally predictable in terms of political philosophy as I tried to do my job as a judge. There were a number of opinions that I wrote that he wasn't very happy with, I'm sure, but he had the grace not to call me, and I had the sense not to call and ask him whether he was happy.
He had some idea of who you were. He knew about your background and your legal opinion before he appointed you.
Well, not on any issue like this. There was never any litmus test, but I had served as his deputy attorney general for 4 years when he was attorney general of Missouri, and so we've had a lot of conversations about what we thought judges and courts ought to do.
Does it run through your mind when you're considering an opinion that when I issue this opinion and it's in agreement with the philosophy of the person who appointed me, people are going to say that I'm beholden to him? I mean, is this another kind of a pressure that you feel?
Well, it's one that you recognize, but it's one that, and you can't reject it, but you have to just take it in as part of the process and try and minimize it to its appropriate level of input.
How did you sleep as a judge?
You know, during the Cruz Ann case, not very well. And there have been a number of times that that case has haunted me since. And frankly, I have not paid as close attention as many might to this Schiavo case just because it brings up too many very difficult memories for me. Were I in the position of the Cruz Ann's parents, I might very well have made the same request that they did.
Did you imagine trying to think through that circumstance from the standpoint of a father who's concerned about his daughter in this persistent vegetative state?
Of course you do. You can't be human and not do that.
And you're saying, Chip Robertson, that you would have wanted the same outcome that these parents, or you may have wanted the same outcome that these parents wanted, that is to end life support, but as a jurist, you couldn't rule that way.
That's what I'm saying. I may well have reached under those circumstances the same decision that they had reached, but I had to make sure that the fact that I would have reached that did not deprive Nancy Cruz Ann of what her wishes would have been.
I just think being a judge must be about the toughest job in the world on many, many days.
On many days it is. Frankly, this kind of a case is in some ways the most difficult you ever see until the law catches up with science and until we get a better idea about what's going on. The courts are always going to be running way behind, and we're going to see far more of these than we want to.
Chip Robertson, former Chief Justice of the Missouri Supreme Court, now practicing law in Jefferson City, Missouri. Chip, thank you.
My pleasure.